Play from the top, I'm staying. Let me get a track just to make sure I'm...
What's up, y'all? Welcome and welcome back to the Lunchtime Foolery Podcast. It's your boy Raheem Dome back in the mic. And today I have a very special guest with me. One of my ancestors within my family, my Uncle Carl. He's going to give us a great in-depth view on his life. How old are you?
82.
82 as an 82-year-old, baby. 82-year-old with limitless amounts of wisdom and knowledge. So, first, I just want to start... Where are you born?
Woodville, Mississippi.
Are you from Mississippi? I thought you was from Louisiana, like everybody else.
No. 82 years.
You said what city in Mississippi?
Woodville.
Yeah. And how long did you live there?
In New Orleans?
In
how long did you live in Woodville?
Oh, 19 years.
19 years. Okay, so that's when you were born. Where'd you go after 19 years?
Where did I go? New Orleans, where I am now.
And you stood there till now?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. What year were you born?
1940.
Okay, that's it. That was during World War II, right?
Well, yeah, because so, my older brother was in the service, and I didn't know him until he came back out of World War II.
Wow. So, yeah. Did you get any stories from him?
Yeah. Well, I got to know your grandpa during that time. They got together and they came out to Woodville. And I got to know your grandpa.
What brother was in the service? What was his name?
His name was Henry too.
Mm-hmm. Henry what?
We called him Big Henry, and your great grandpa, Lynn Henry.
What was his full name? Henry, what's his last name? What's your last name?
Hunter.
Get it on the podcast, you know what I mean?
So, Uncle Carl, I wasn't going to have a speaking engagement, but I chose to have this speaking engagement. So you said it was Big Henry and it was Little Henry. So my grandfather, Henry Hunter, which is my mom's dad, was Little Henry, right?
Right.
And you had Big Henry, right? Mm-hmm. Could you tell us some stories about both of them? So it was Big Henry that was in the military. And so So what type of where was he stationed? Do you remember where was he stationed?
I didn't even know him until he come home during the time.
Okay.
And he brought your grandpa, your mama's daddy to Woodville. Oh. That's when we began to getting together as brothers.
Gotcha. How many total brothers?
Ten boys.
Ten boys and three girls.
Ten boys and three girls.
Wow. Could you give us names of each one of them? So we got two names and we got yours.
I have to look at the stick to call the
name. You have to look at
Henry, Helen, Robert, Noel, Johnny, Doris, Bill, Levin, Olivia, Carl. Well, I'm got the sisters and all together. Carl, Glenn, and Richard, and Lynn Henry.
Beautiful.
And do you remember any of your older family members, like any uncles and aunts, the names of them?
Yeah, I had an old brother by Uncle Joe.
You say everyone's last name as well?
His name was Henley.
Henley.
Last name was Henley.
Mm-hmm. H-E-N-L-E-Y, Henley.
I remember going to some of the family reunions, and you had Hunt and Henley family reunions.
That's right. That's right.
And I had another uncle by the name of Bobby Henley. Mm-hmm.
And is that your which side? Was that
my dad's brother.
Your dad's brother. So how did they have different last names?
And then come your what grandpa? That was your grandpa. Mm-hmm. Your dad is your grandpa's dad is dead.
Yeah.
Got great you. Grandpa. My son asked a question. How did the Henley and Hunter name differ? Because since it was
my grandmother was born on the age of slavery.
Okay.
And she had two kids by old master.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, two kids from the map. What was her name?
Susie
Henley.
Susie Beverly.
Huh? Yeah.
Susie Beverly.
Beverly.
She didn't marry.
Yeah, Susie Beverly.
Okay. Wow.
I just saw her. She's gorgeous.
And do you know where was that in Woodville as well, Mississippi? It's a death camp.
Well, I'm more than sure with Mississippi because I didn't hear no tale of them migrating from no other place.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Wow.
Say again. So Susie Beverly was from New Orleans or Mississippi? Mississippi?
Mississippi.
Mississippi.
Okay. But how did the Henley last name differ from Hunter? Because if you know what I mean? Like Henry Hunter, he was the brother of who?
Brother
of
just put it together. Henry is his brother.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my dad. This is my daddy's brother. My grandpa baby didn't realize you my daddy's brother.
I'm your
uncle. Great uncle. Great great uncle.
Great uncle.
You are his, this is your great great uncle.
Okay.
Yes. He's my uncle. He's my son's uncle, great uncle, and he's your great great.
Right. Very great.
Yes.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So growing up for you, how was it like to be a Black, like your experience as a Black man? You know what I mean? Like racially.
How was it growing up being a Black man from when you were growing up?
I think my dad was a very strong man. And we lived real good. And we got along real good with one another and other people. And my daddy might have been kind of leery about the white people, but he didn't raise us like that. He mixed it with the white. He had white people that he was kind of like beholden to, and he did things for them. They did things for him. Mm-hmm. And I think we had a good life. My dad had I think he had a better life than many, many people that live right there with him. And he was one of the, my dad was one of the first Black men that had automobiles at that time. He had two trucks.
Okay.
Well, he didn't have no automobiles. He got a smaller truck in the later years. But he used to haul people back and forward to the place, little town called Woodville.
Mm-hmm.
But we lived out in the country with the hog, the hog, whatever, the hog, the cows, the horses, whatever.
Yes, indeed.
And my grandpa, I think he lived as a good big man because he had over 100 head of cattle when I was about 19 years old.
Yes.
Yeah,
that's big time.
I used to mostly help him take care of. He had many, many hogs, goats and turkeys and yes, chickens and lots of stuff. Yeah. A lot of people didn't have that. He raised his own.
I didn't even know that before.
Is that still in the family?
He had his own horses and he didn't work. He paid to work the grounds he got, and he bought the grounds that he worked as he got older.
Okay.
And I would say he lived a better life, but he didn't never carry himself as a man was better than others.
Mm-hmm.
He always was leaning to help the one that was winning. I think this was a thing of the family.
How many acres of land? Do you know?
How many? He got 284 acres, more or less.
Get away. Hear that, huh? Hunter Strong.
And that's still currently in the family in Woodville, because I've been to Woodville two separate times.
Yeah, you have been there.
I remember.
Still there.
Yeah, it's still there. And I'm in charge of it right now.
No.
Okay.
I don't have very many nephews and things I'm interested in. I got two brothers still left and a sister. They're not able. I'm not able, but my son kind of does what I do to keep it going.
What's your son's name?
Carl, right here.
He just spoke to him.
He's right here.
Okay. I was.
Y'all need to meet one of them.
Yeah, y'all need to know each other.
Okay.
I would like to see y'all keep the Hunter going strong.
Yes, sir. We will. And we promise we will.
Yeah.
So earlier you spoke about how you used to be fed, how daddy used to go out and get the hogs to feed y'all. Could you tell us a story about that?
The hogs?
Yeah, daddy used to kill a hog.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Well, when he killed the hogs, he always had lots of, it was like a reunion when he killed hogs. They have just as many people around there. He had so much when he killed these hogs. He had so much, he didn't tell them what part to take or nothing. They knew better than to take his best. And he just let them all got something. And the one that wasn't there, he used to make a package, put us on the horse, and take such and such one, a piece of what he killed.
Mm-hmm.
But they used to can a lot, and they used to kill a lot, lots of the meat. They had big drums and barrels that we killed in. We salted it down, put it in the barrel, and the salt drawed all of the waters out of it, and it had a thing, what they call when they draw the water, that's what hit the stand so it could stay eatable.
Mm-hmm.
And it would call a brine.
Mm-hmm.
And when it killed, he would take some hooks in the smokehouse. We had a smokehouse that would smoke the meat in. He would hook it on the smokehouse, and it would take him a while to get it killed, and he would take different types of wood and put it in an old tub or something to keep from going too far in the smokehouse.
Mm-hmm.
And it would kill till we were able to go in there and steal a little piece off.
Mm-hmm.
We would have, all down through the years, people would come around and they were real. They come around and say, "Well, can I get a little piece of this or a little bale of corn and all this kind of stuff?" He would give it to them. He didn't sell it to them.
Yeah.
He always had a lot. We worked hard. When we gathered our crop, he had like maybe 12, 14 acres of cotton. Uh-huh. Lots of acre corn because they didn't share the acres off to us. We could just raise all the corn we wanted, but they had a certain amount of cotton they would let all the families use. But we got all we had. He had two barns. While his mama lived, he had a barn at that house, and they had a barn at the house that we were living in. when we cleaned, get everything out of the barn at the house where we were, then we started using the mules and the wagon going to the other barn, feeding the hogs and the horses and things.
Wow.
And we used to have a what thing you call a slide. We didn't have running water. Ooh. We slide the water, go through two creeks. Ooh. One name was Amacraw, other name was Persia Creek.
Wow.
And we used to slide the water for the hog, horses. Then he had drilled a hole and had well water. Well, it was good water because the horses got so they didn't want to drink the water was hot. We turn them loose to come out the field. They'll go stand by the well and wait on us to come pump them some water. They liked that well water better than they did that really quick. Now, the creek waters are supposed to be cured because it ran over rocks and sand.
Yeah.
And it's supposed, I don't remember just the feed, it would have to run to be purified.
Mm-hmm.
And
wow.
But they liked the taste of that water. They would wait right there with the gills on until we pumped the water and then. They would go to the barn to eat their corn and whatever we were feeding them. Yeah. I think it was beautiful. It was kind of hard for us when we were, he worked us so, but he had to work us because it was so minimal. Some days when things got really ready to be gathered and things, we couldn't go to school but a half a day.
Ooh.
Every day in school, when we got together, everything together, then we make up time in school and stuff like that.
Wow.
So you had the works, like when it was time to actually work, you will go to school for half a day.
When I was about, I didn't get it.
What?
When I was about 9 years old, I had my own team, my own plow.
Ooh. Wow.
My own cultivator. He had this many things to work with.
Yeah.
Cultivators, harrows, plows. I know you don't know what all this stuff was, but then he worked, he tilled the soil with all this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The plow was the thing you started off with in the first of the year.
To, yeah.
Start the ground and break, and then we had cultivators.
Did all of that. I ain't know all of that. Wow.
It was a lot of stuff we did when we came up. Your grandpa, he was born and raised, but. When he started to come in and we got to know him very well, we were very close.
Yeah.
I think me and him were the closest to all of them.
That's why I'm here today.
When I came to the city in 19, me and him grew to be real close.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I used to go out to visit his wife's mother, mm-hmm. LaPlaire.
Yeah.
And my wife, that was his sister.
Yeah.
Jane was.
Yeah, my mom.
She was my sweetheart. Yeah.
So, let me ask you a question. So I know my grandfather's mother was Mama Lil.
Mm-hmm.
What was your mama's name?
Olivia.
Olivia. Okay.
And guess what? They were friends.
Yeah.
They were friends.
Yeah.
I don't know if Henry was. Mm-hmm. She probably was. She from Louisville? Yeah, I used to
Mama was from Natchez.
Natchez? Well, that's 36 miles apart.
Yeah, Natchez.
Yeah, they ranged. Never ranged. They
from Natchez, Mississippi.
Yeah. She from Natchez. Mm-hmm.
So you say you was 19 when you moved to New Orleans. What drove you to New Orleans? Was it work that drove you to New Orleans?
What made you
change? When I moved to New Orleans, all the brothers were working on the waterfront.
On the water, yeah.
I wouldn't come in here to stay. I come in here running behind a girl who ran in Mary.
Okay.
And that kept me here as having a job. But I used to go back home.
That's what brought
me to New Orleans. Get a craft there.
Mm-hmm.
Me and one of my brothers, Noel, and your daddy used to go, your grandpa used to go back with us, do a little work for dad, and he was a dream man. We loved him. Mm-hmm. He would love him.
My daddy had always wanted
to. He had that attitude that if you didn't like him, there's something wrong
with you. Something wrong with you. Look at that. Same thing I say. You don't like me, something wrong with you.
Something wrong.
That's right. I'm the same way.
Everywhere you, that's my brother.
That's right.
That's my brother.
That's right.
When did that land get into the family? And what was it for?
I think he would have the family at his time. The family was closer together than they ever been.
Yeah, you know something? And that's actually true because, you know, I've had a chance to be around you a number of times, Uncle Carl, but I'm speaking about the times that I had with my grandfather. Mm-hmm. And my sister and I was the last grandkids that saw him that night when unfortunately he passed, right? Mm-hmm. He said, I'll see you later, knucklehead.
Knucklehead, that's what he called y'all.
The house that was on Dumain Street was always a pillar for the family. And once he left this earth and became an ancestor for all of us, that's when our family started to fracture. So when you just said how significant he was in your life and in your family life, I really truly believe that. Do you?
Yeah,
you?
It was.
That's my daddy.
This is true.
I'm this just like him. Yes. I am. I'm just like him. I've never been in my paw.
Yeah, you're hearing me.
Yeah, I'm just like him.
Yeah, we got along.
My son is that way too.
Yeah.
He loved that family. He that way. He can have family around him all day.
Oh,
that's how my daddy was.
Yeah.
Not all of us are like that, but you know.
And I think me and your grandma.
Oh yeah.
Me and your grandma are closer than any nephew or niece that I have.
That's right. It's my baby
now.
Right here.
Right now.
Yeah.
So
I didn't get to know them until I really know them until I was 19 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
But and all of us was living right in the same little circle.
Yeah.
But yeah, you didn't know him that well because he was in war?
No.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
my son is asking Raheem, the host of the podcast. He's asking, what prevented you from knowing him until you was 19?
Well, he was living. Yeah. I knew him before I was 19. Now we knew one another when I was younger. We knew him, but we wasn't together. Like every day, we came together after our year. Gotcha. Lots of time we just used to come together and go different places and do the thing. Mm-hmm. We had a business as a service station. He in the morning time, he worked at the service station at Kittaker. In the evening time, my baby brother, he was there. But we were together just about every day when we wasn't working on the river. He worked on the riverfront and we worked on the riverfront. He worked at a different farm, but we came together every day.
Okay.
But we were like kids. It was like, you know, years before we grew up to come here, we were out there with dad, with my dad.
Yeah.
But we knew him.
Gotcha.
We cherished him then.
Yeah.
When he would come out there, he made us know. He made us know that he was brother.
Yeah.
Him and my older brother and my mama's side, they were always telling one another they were the old one.
They were
on
the same year.
Yeah.
1922.
Mm-hmm. So I thought my grandfather, we call him Papa Henry Hunter. I thought he was the oldest, but you say he was little Henry, so he wasn't the oldest.
Yeah,
I think just was something they used to do with one another.
Gotcha. I thought he was the oldest.
Same year. Uncle Vaughn, Daddy Vaughn in April, the first 1922, and Uncle is October 27, 1922.
Yeah.
So that's his birthday. Mm-hmm.
Do you know what year your dad was born and your mom was born?
Wow.
Big Daddy?
And give us Big Daddy's name.
His name is William Henry.
William Henry Hunter.
That's right. Better known as Billy.
Billy Hunter.
Yeah.
And
what that name come from, that slave side? Yes, Billy Hunter.
Billy.
They had Joe, Bobby and Billy. Billy was the host. Billy had more than all of them.
Wow, we.
Who is Joe, Bobby, and Billy Hunter?
That's names that the slave man to call them, Billy, Bobby, and Joe. That's how he got the dumb name. Ain't that a wench? When calling by his name, I'm calling Billy.
That's what they call him, Daddy Billy.
I hate that.
So your mom name was Olivia, but what was her maiden name?
Johnson.
Olivia Johnson.
She was from an Indian side of the family.
Okay. So she was what part of the Indian side? What Indian tribe?
I really don't know whether it was the Indian side because they were black people, really kind of straight hair.
Straight hair. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
And, that's what she would tell us.
Yes, indeed.
You know what year your parents were born in?
Yeah, do you know the year your dad was born?
Can't say it right off.
Bring it up.
I'll find out.
Doris could tell you.
When you talk to Auntie Doris, she'll know.
Okay.
We'll Auntie do that. Doris is older.
I wish I could talk to you a lot about my family because we were half coming through while we really came through it because the name Billy, they didn't call him Hunter.
Yeah, they didn't call
Billy,
him Hunter.
The name Billy, the white people said Billy was rich.
Yes, indeed.
Because he had something he could give all of them.
You hear that? My papa was rich.
That's what they said.
All right now, because he had what he had. Mm-hmm. So that William was too strong for them. That's why they want to call him Billy. Ain't that a trip? Ain't that something?
So let's fast forward. What was your profession, Unc?
I did some of everything. That's what made me and Daddy so close. I used to do a lot of mechanic work. Okay. And he had all of Billy's boys had a Cadillac.
All of them had Cadillacs, huh?
And he had a white one.
Yeah, I got married riding in a white one.
I used to keep it running real, real good at the top. He was running at the top of the line. Okay. And I think he thought it was an airplane. Yeah, someone passed all us brothers, right? And he was on one of these fast cars. He passed by us. They passed by us. We were coming from my daddy's house in Woodville. Mm-hmm. And that car passed us. He was off the gas because you could hear the way it sounded. It was like boo, 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 boo. And he told my brother Johnny, he said, go get him, brother.
That's funny. Doris is down. I love it. Yeah.
So what else did you do? What else did you work?
I did mechanic work. I did carpentry. I did
longshoreman
work. My profession was a longshoreman.
Yeah.
And I had many professionals do a lot of things. I could do roofing work, I could do carpentry work. I could do it all.
There you go.
I was like my dad. I might get somebody to help me, but I did my own.
How many kids do you have total?
I got two, a boy and a girl, Carl and Dawn. And I raised a daughter by one of her nieces, my wife's niece.
Okay. And what was her name?
The one that I raised?
Yes.
Jody. And she's just like mine. I raised her. She don't even know when she came to my house. Mm. I raised her until she went to put her through college.
Yeah.
How many years were you married?
We were married 58 years. Oh, wow. Yeah.
58?
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
I never spent the night away listening. I was working or whatever. used to go back after I retired, my wife retired, we go back to the country and spend like months at a time. From one person to the other, we were helping out people. Staying with my mother-in-law mostly.
What do you think? So what's the key to a successful marriage? 58 years is a long time, sir.
I think. What's the key to a successful marriage?
Well, I wouldn't know. I didn't drink. I didn't run the street.
Yeah.
And I thought my wife was the dream wife. How I got her, I don't know, because I don't know when we really met one another, but we went to school together. I don't know when we started looking at one another, but I know when we got married.
I love it.
How long did you know her?
Yeah, indeed.
How long did you know before you got married?
That's why I say
that's
I don't
you
know.
Said, don't remember.
Oh, yeah.
You don't remember. Just remember getting married.
When we were little, we used to go to school with our sisters and brothers before we were able to start going to school. That's when I got to know her. Mm-hmm. And we were looking at one another all the time.
Wow.
Oh, you are. Right. Really?
I love it.
And it just was successful because when I was a teenager, they say a four-leaf clover was luck.
Yeah.
I found the four-leaf clover, and I don't know what scripture I put it on in the Bible, but I laid it in the Bible that she would be my wife.
See that, huh?
Yeah. Oh, no.
It should be the...
That's beautiful.
She would be the wife. Yeah, how you like that? Yeah. And you put that four-leaf clover in the Bible.
That she was going to be my wife.
Was going to be his wife. He wanted it. And that's what became his wife. And so, wow.
That's the one I came in.
I love
when she left to come to go into school. I was 19.
Yeah.
She was 18. Yeah. Now, she was 17. And I've been here ever since.
Mm.
I couldn't stay there after she left.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's a beautiful story. So
I love it.
This is a reason that we're trying to highlight these stories, because it's not about how you were born and how you was brought up. It's how you actually lived your life. And
I think we lived a great life. I had many, many cars. I bought cars off the showroom floor.
Mm-hmm.
And most of all the brothers, I bought more cars, I guess, than the enema.
What's your favorite car?
What's the car that you actually cherish the greatest? What car was that?
Well, I don't cherish nothing most of it myself but I had a 57 Thunderbird.
All right.
No one they didn't have very many like it. What they call that thing?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Top of the line, Townlando.
Townlando.
We were riding down Canal Street, me and my wife. We were looking at Thunderbirds and different stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And she saw this car on the showroom floor. I'll tell you what I thought about. She was riding down Canal Street. Mm-hmm. I made that, went down there at 11, turned around, come back up to the showroom. We went in there and we walked out with that car that night.
All right, now.
How much it cost?
Love it. Those are stories that enhance me. I
she
love
said
that.
She when we passed by, she said, wow. "Oh yes, that's the one that's I the want one. Right there." I didn't make it no better. That's what I got.
That's what he got.
And she was driving it home, they had this guy Renell, and he was in drugs and things. He had a beautiful Cadillac. He said, "That's the beautiful car
you ever seen."
That's what he said.
Nah.
Name was Renell.
No.
How much did it cost?
How much did it cost me?
Yeah. You remember?
Huh?
You remember how much it cost?
No, I don't remember.
Just wanted to satisfy his wife. I love him. My kind of guy.
Think she was the same way about
That's
me.
Right. Oh, I know she was.
I wish you could see our 50-year anniversary picture.
Yeah.
I hope your mama brings you by.
She can see him now. You want to see their pictures on the wall?
Give me a second. We got a few more minutes. We got a few more minutes with him.
And okay, then we'll... you got a few more minutes for you, Uncle. Then I'm going to show you. So what else?
But there is a picture on the wall behind them. Who are they in that picture? You see
up in the corner?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's me, my wife, and that's the one I'm wearing that beard like your dad,
yeah. Yeah.
That's me, my daughter,
yeah,
my wife, and the girl I raised.
Okay.
Jody.
Yeah, Jody.
Okay.
I had that beard on. Didn't you see Neff?
I see that beard. You looking, you know?
Uh-huh. And Afro.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was at that 50th anniversary.
I see why she chose you.
Yeah.
Good looking. You're a good looking man.
Yes, indeed. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I tell you what, it's a pleasure to know I got a nephew, a great nephew, wants to interview his uncle, and hope trying to find his way through life. And trying to see what made a good life.
Yes, sir.
I'm proud.
Next time in New Orleans, I'm going to definitely have come meet you.
You sure will. Next time you're here, you come see Uncle. Make sure you come over here.
So with the interview, we only have two more minutes. So we'll ask you, one additional question. And then, I can go all day with this. Yeah, and then after that, we'll get a chance to see the 50th picture.
But I just want to ask, what's the most important decision you've made in your life?
What's the most important decision you've made in your life?
To turn into Christ.
Say it again? Oh, turn into Christ.
Accepting Christ as my Savior.
Yes, sir.
And why do you say that?
Could you elaborate, sir?
You say why you say that?
Why you say that? Because I know without Christ is nothing I can do. So I think that's the most important thing that I could have did. Mm-hmm. You know, when I did get married, I would say this. I thought within my heart, this is the biggest thing I will ever do. It was really important to me to get the one that I thought was God had put on earth for me, and I think I did.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was most significant to me.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's a great answer. But that was
the
podcast, y'all. I hope y'all enjoyed this episode. It was very insightful with my great uncle and my grandmother, as well as my dad joining me. So we'll catch y'all next time. Let's Lunchtime Foolery Podcast, y'all. Peace.